everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass, and it's time for It's All About Food. Here we are. It's April 8th, 2014. I love this month. It's my birthday month. So my birthday is on Earth Day, April 22nd, and you're more than welcome to send me happy birthday wishes on my birthday. You can do that at info@realmeals.org. That's my email address. And I would love to hear from you. Now, I say that from time to time, but I really, really mean it. And one thing I really want to know, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I've been doing this program now for 5 years. 5 years talking about my favorite subject, food, with so many wonderful experts in the plant-based food movement. And I want to know a little bit more about what you're thinking about this program as we age, as we grow, as we get older. Are we doing the right thing? Are you liking what you're hearing? Do you want to hear more of one thing or another? Can you please let me know? info@realmeals.org is how you do that. And I look forward to hearing what you have to say. Now, another thing that you can do, some of my listeners do this from time to time, and I love it, is you recommend people for me to talk to on my program. And I have to tell you that my 8-year-old niece made a recommendation, and the next person that I am going to be speaking with right here on this program today is the person she wanted me to talk to, and I'm really glad that she did. So, let me introduce my first guest, Lisa Soriano. She is a certified nutritionist holding a master's degree in nutrition and food science, specializing in school food service as the director of operations for JC Food, a premier school food service consulting company for independent schools in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. And she founded the evidence-based nutrition education program, Vegication, that introduces thousands of American children to the delicious world of vegetables. As a school food service expert, she serves as co-chair of the board of directors of the New York Coalition for Healthy School Food. We know that wonderful nonprofit, right? And they work in partnership with New York City's Department of School Food to improve the health of New York State students. And there's so much more about Lisa Soriano, and we're going to find out right now. Welcome to It's All About Food, Lisa.
Thank you so much for having me, Karen.
Yes, well, I love what you're doing because somehow Americans especially, and it's becoming more and more contagious around the world where we're forgetting how to eat, what to eat, how to prepare our food, what we should be doing, and it's detrimental to all life on Earth, not just humanity, but our whole planet.
Extremely detrimental. Yep, we need to reverse this trend.
And one of the best ways to do it is to start with children.
I believe that strongly, which is where I started my program.
I remember my sister's son, when he was about 5 years old, I remember asking him, where do apples come from? And he said, Publix, which was the local supermarket in Florida. And that's true. But, I mean, apples really come from trees, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so tell me about, let's first start with JC Food. You're the director of operations. What is that and what do you do?
JC Food is, it's actually my family company. It's a private school food service company, and it was started by my father, and really has been him and his business has really been my inspiration in all the work that I've done in my career so far. My dad was is a classically trained chef. Grew up in Brooklyn, and he started working, he was working at the Four Seasons in the late 70s, and he had started having his family, me and my sister, and he wanted to be able to come to softball games and dance recitals and be home for Christmas Eve. And so he found a job at a school on the Upper East Side, the Brearley School, that was looking for a chef manager. And my dad got the job and started cooking as he would have at the Four Seasons.
Wow.
Seasonal, from scratch, food, things that he learned from his classic training, things his mom used to make for him, and that really caught fire. And he was so ahead of his time in the early 80s doing that they were an all-girls school. And so the boys' school wanted the same kind of food. And then someone else had another kid in another school, and his business just grew very much from word of mouth and from people loving his food and starting to see food in a different way. So that's been my father's business and the business that I grew up in my whole life.
Yeah, and that seems so different from the standard food school food service that goes on today, the things we've seen on television with Jamie Oliver,
sure.
where everything comes from a box mm-hmm. that the food service professionals, they just mix with water and cook it, and it's all manufactured synthetic scary stuff.
Yes, what's amazing is my dad was doing this work sort of at the exact time that that trend was really taking hold of school food. So when I was a kid and people used to ask me what my dad did, it was really hard for me to explain because people didn't know, like, oh, your dad makes school
mm-hmm.
food.
Ew.
And I would have to explain that it's not what you think, and people didn't really get it. Now the sort of the eyes have come into the cafeteria kitchen. People are understanding it, and the trend is starting to turn, but it's definitely a slow moving train.
Right. And there's plenty of evidence that shows that children behave better, they learn better when they have real food, excuse me.
Absolutely. I mean, for schools not to look at nutrition of their students as a critical part of academics, test scores, disciplinary acts, absenteeism, everything across the board is affected by, you know, we know this, that it's affected by what you eat, but it really affects a teacher's experience and an administrator's experience with their students as well.
Yeah. Okay. So you're involved with that, and then you founded Veggiecation. So let's talk about that, because I think that sounds really fun.
Thank you.
Veggiecation.
Yes. It has been a lot of fun. It's been quite an adventure over the past 4.5 years. I came into the company because I was doing personal training and teaching yoga and really into fitness and nutrition when I graduated from college with a business degree in 2005. And my dad's business was growing, and he said to me, you know, can you come on and help me with the growth of the business and to be the advocate for health in the company? And so it was a perfect fit for me. And my dad's one of my best friends, so it was a good fit for us. And I came in like gangbusters trying to advocate for whole wheat everything and bringing, you know, really trying to market and sell vegetables to kids with no marketing materials. So I came at it from that approach because, like I said, I came out of school with a business degree, and I believe in the power of marketing. So I was also meeting with reps from the big food companies that had their great marketing strategies and different schemes that they did to work themselves into schools. And I said, well, this is not fair if they're going to sell processed foods with all this marketing materials and I have nothing to sell my whole foods with.
Mm-hmm.
So I started Veggiecation as more of a marketing tool at first. I also wanted to get into the classroom, and the teachers that I spoke with at a lot of these great independent schools throughout the city here said, we don't really have time for nutrition education. We still have to teach literacy and math and science and social studies, and there's no time for nutrition.
Right.
So it was my job in the lunchroom to create this education and this marketing.
I'm just thinking of someone, and I'm wishing her name would come to me. she's from Cornell. She used to work with T. Colin Campbell. I think she has, it's like the Food Institute or something.
Cornell's
Dimas. Dr. Dimas.
I believe I know the name.
And her Antonia Dimas. Thank you, memory.
Yes.
I'm not losing it yet. Okay. Anyway, she had put out a 24-week curriculum, Food is Elementary. Are you familiar with that?
I have heard of that, yeah.
Because it was exactly what you had heard. The teachers were saying, we don't have time. Teachers are overwhelmed. I mean, our whole school system is just crazy to begin with. And they don't have time to add to their curriculum. And so she came up with food education that would fit into their curriculum, into their standard subjects. And that's how she managed to teach healthy food.
I did the same thing when we first started out. We called it a classroom companion.
Mm.
And I actually went to a friend of mine who was a teacher in New York. He had worked in public schools and had taught first, second, and third grade. And I said to him, what would be helpful to you? How could I actually do what you need to do, accomplish this, and also accomplish my own goals? So he said, if I had lessons with just, you know, a lesson suggestion, supporting academic material, something that was fun, cute, colorful, and then also was lined up to my standards, so I knew what I was accomplishing academically, I could use that. So him and I developed over one summer these three classroom companions for first, second, and third grade with just a ton of supporting academic resources for the program. So we do have an academic piece to our program.
Well, that's very nice. And you're competing with major corporations that have materials that they give the schools for free.
Mm-hmm.
And schools are so strapped for cash that they love free materials. But for them, they're actually marketing their unhealthy products at the same time.
Yes.
So where do people get this material? Do they have to go to Veducation and contact you and have you come to their school to get your program? How does that all work?
Well, our program, it really started with the academic program, and we tried to make that really inexpensive for schools and reproducible materials for them. So it was the program was initially $69.99 for them to have the classroom companions and all these reproducible academic materials. To be perfectly honest with you, I found that even making this so easy and turnkey for teachers, it still had a hard time of finding the niche in the classroom. And what we started doing at the same time, because I'm all about the food as you are, we were doing tastings with kids of the different vegetables and characters that we had. And then I started working with the Whole Foods on the Upper West Side of Manhattan here and started teaching healthy kids cooking classes once a month. That changed the game for us.
Mm.
That seeing kids and the way that they interacted with vegetables and herbs and beans that they have never seen before, never touched, never smelled, never tasted, and the way that they were empowered by making their own recipe, that opened my eyes to what this program was all about and what we needed to do. So that's become the focus of education. We're a culinary nutrition education program now because cooking skills, I think, are an essential life skill. And schools, we're able to do for schools now is either have one of our certified veggiecator educators, as we call them, our instructors, who are trained and are equipped to teach classes. We have them all over the U.S. and Canada now, and soon in South Africa and Korea, which we're really excited about. Or what we've also been doing for several groups locally is training teachers. Doing professional development, teaching them how to engage their students with these healthy hands-on activities. Also, some nonprofits have had us do trainings for them as well. So it can be a sustainable program that schools don't have to keep paying for.
Now, I know here in Manhattan, there are many homes that have the most gorgeous kitchens you have ever seen anywhere, decked out with all clad and Le Creuset, all my favorite pots and pans, and they've never been used.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody knows where their kitchens are. So, I mean, I'm not surprised to hear that kids haven't, you know, don't know what these foods are and haven't had them because their parents don't really know much about them either.
It's true. And this, you know, this is a complete problem for all levels of society, all socioeconomic levels. Everyone is suffering from this problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's not just here in the city and urban life. I see it out in suburban life as well. We've just had this same message and same experience from people all over the country that people have just gotten so far away from their own kitchen that they don't know. There's a generation, I think, of parents that are uncomfortable with cooking, and that's why we need to change this with the kids.
Well, the parents are uncomfortable. They're also, many of them, overwhelmed.
That too.
And overworked. And both parents are working, and it's really hard to have time for the kids, have time for the jobs. Everybody's tired. And to think about what to make in the kitchen, it seems, and I'm making air quotes here as I'm talking, but it seems easier to go for the convenience foods, the prepared foods, and be done with it. I don't think it's necessarily easier, you know, and maybe you have some thoughts on that.
Yes,
but it's a big challenge.
I agree with you. It's definitely not easier when you have the skills. When you have the skills to prepare simple, healthy meals, it's actually a lot less expensive, which, you know, we're working so hard to create a savings account to be able to pay our bills. And a lot of takeout or processed foods are going to be more expensive, not only for our budget, but then also down the road for our health and our health care. For me, both of my parents were entrepreneurs. So I was, from the time I was in middle school, I was home alone a lot. And I would come home from the bus, and I lived in New Jersey. And I would get off the bus and come home and be responsible for my own snack after school. And I was always hungry and doing my homework and such. And because my dad always had me in the kitchen and was always teaching me how to make things, I could come home and whip up a really delicious snack for myself and not be a problem. Or if my mom was had to work late, you know, I could make dinner and be happy with that, you know, at 12 years old. That's a great thing to be able to do.
Absolutely. Okay, so you work with kids, and I want to know a number of things. What are the things that they've really enjoyed, and what are the things that they've really not liked?
I you might not believe me on this, but there actually have been very few things that they haven't liked.
I believe you.
Okay, good. what we do with our recipes, I have an amazing chef, Chef Nancy Burgos Jackson, who has been working with JC Food for, I'm not going to say how long, she'll kill me, a long time. And she has two beautiful twin daughters. And she has helped me. She's been integral in creating these recipes that are what we call classroom style. So they can be done anywhere with our portable cooking kits. And they don't require a kitchen because most schools or community centers don't have one. And that are simple, that are easy, that are plant-based, that are affordable. And what we do is we test them at a summer camp that she runs in Brooklyn every summer. The ones that don't work don't make it into the recipe book. But for the most part, I mean, we do raw salads. We do what I call lettuceless salads quite often. Because, you know, I've always been someone who's eating a lot of greens and salads, and I just get a little bit bored with a leafy green salad sometimes. So I like the crunchy stuff. So we've made salads that kids really love that's just the crunchy stuff, green apples and celery and grapes with a honey Dijon vinaigrette that they've made themselves. We do a lot of green smoothies. Kids absolutely love that. Anything in the blender. Kids go crazy for pestos, bean dips, all different kinds of spreads. Kids go crazy for that kind of stuff.
Wow. Now, what about the greens? What about leafy greens?
Oh,
and
we
salads?
Don't worry. We don't leave them out. We do make, you know, some leafy green salads. Some of our characters are kale and spinach and romaine lettuce and cabbage and green leaf lettuce. So we definitely work with our leafy greens, but then we also do creative things, like green leaf lettuce wraps.
I love them.
Yeah, so good. And also putting them in green smoothies. We make our shamrock smoothie with the kale and a sweetheart smoothie with the spinach and things like that, that kids really, really respond to. And at first they're a little freaked out that it's green, but once you've educated them on the health benefits and not just, we don't talk about folate and vitamin K, adults don't care what that is. They care that it's going to give them brain power and make their hair healthy and shiny and make their skin look good and prevent pimples and all these kinds of things that beauty products use to sell for, sell their products. We actually can say that for real with our vegetables.
They do care about protein, though, because that's like the only thing people seem to know about.
Yep, that's true. But, you know, then we let them know about how much protein is are in their vegetables, and that's really exciting for them as well.
Right. Now, where did kids learn to not like vegetables?
I think it's a societal thing.
I'm hundreds of years ago, did kids like vegetables?
You know, I can't say, because I've only been on the earth for about 3 decades now. So I don't know, but I do know, I mean, I do know the way that my grandparents eat. We lived in a two-family house, so I grew up with my grandparents who were first-generation Italian-Americans, and actually my grandfather had a farm in Queens, if you can imagine that.
Wow.
The pictures are amazing. So he grew up on a farm, and he tended to the vegetables, and so we always had vegetables in our house, and then he turned our garden in New Jersey into his own little farm. And I grew up tending to the herbs and the green beans and the zucchini with him. I think exposure is so key. And our society just throws chicken fingers and pizza and mozzarella sticks in front of kids. And there's nothing green. So it's an exposure issue. They're not familiar with it. The research shows us that it's 12 to 15 exposures to a new food for a child to become comfortable with it and to accept it on their own and choose it on their own.
12.
12 to 15.
Okay.
That's a lot
I've
of exposure.
I've once heard it was 8, but 12 to 15, that is a lot. Yeah.
And I think what happens is parents see their kids, you know, they try to give them a pepper.
I don't want it.
I don't like it.
I don't like it. It's green.
Mm-hmm. And then that's it. My kid doesn't like peppers. And then that's over. Peppers are dead in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not true. You know,
right.
I
see parents sometimes when it's a vegetable that they don't like, they don't even realize they're giving the message to the kid. Oh, you won't like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, you know, we have our own biases. And I always say to the kids, I say, you know, if you don't try something new, you don't know if you're going to like it or not. And you might not like it because not everybody likes everything. And that's okay because that's what makes us unique and special. But you might find that you do like it and then you found your new favorite food. And so kids really, they get that. They understand it.
Mm.
And it oftentimes takes some of the holdouts over the hump of not trying something, making them nervous.
Well, yeah. So now you say that your JC Food works with independent schools.
Yes.
So what's the difference between independent schools and public schools, and why do you work with one versus the other?
My dad's always worked with independent schools because his model works, his business model works for independent private schools. It would not work for public schools. Having the knowledge that I do about school food and about working with kids and healthy foods brought me to the Coalition for Healthy School Food. And that's an organization that focuses primarily on public schools.
Hmm.
Public schools is a whole different animal when it comes to budgeting and regulation. And so my dad always wanted to do the food that he wanted to do and be successful at that.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't want to have to make compromises.
And he found a market for that.
Exactly. So it worked for him. And I tried a couple times to push us into public schools. And then I realized how horrible that is on certain levels from a business perspective. So I sort of have satisfied that need to get involved with public schools by being a big part of the coalition and becoming the co-chair of the board. And what we do is we work directly with the Department of Education here in New York City, with the Office of School Food, to promote more plant-based options as actual meals on the city menus.
So what positive things have happened so far?
Some really positive things have happened, particularly in the last 2 years. When those big regulation changes happened through the USDA, the city gave us the option of the alternative menu. And so there's the classic menu that has your chicken tenders and your mozzarella sticks for lunch, a lot of beef and pork and things like that. And then there's the alternative menu that has no beef, no pork, no mozzarella sticks, no fried chicken fingers
at all. What else is there?
it's a beautiful menu. There's a lot of greens, a lot of roasted sweet potatoes.
Mm.
There's 2 days that are plant-based, purely plant-based foods. So there's a big focus on beans, adding more herbs into recipes. And for schools that have nutrition education as part of their school environment, the menus have been really, really successful.
And do kids have to choose in advance if they want the alternative menu, or something
on a
daily
basis? It's not a choice
it's
a choice that the school makes.
Hmm.
And it's really ultimately the principal's choice, but something that can come as an initiative from the PTA.
So they do one or the other?
Yes, it's either the classic menu or the alternative menu. We've also had the great success we had last year that we announced around this time last year of the first public vegetarian school.
In Queens!
Yes, Flushing, Queens, PS
244. Let's hear it for Queens. I live in Queens.
I was born in Queens, so I was very, very proud of 244, and I'm blown away with that school.
So what's happening there? What's the progress that's happening?
The progress is phenomenal. They did do a study on the BMI in the school,
mm-hmm.
and BMI is down. And
this is before and after?
Yes.
Now, I had read, I mean, some of these kids were more plant-friendly than your average school.
I think, yes, the culture in the school, there's a lot of very strong Asian influence from a lot of Indian families and also a lot of Chinese families as well. So introducing beans and tofu was not totally crazy to them.
Mm-hmm.
They had been exposed to it at a young age. But it did take about 3 years to get to the point of 5 plant-based days.
Wow.
It was a slow progression. It started with 2 plant-based days, then 3, then four, then five. And it was a lot of community education. We did, every year we would do two family dinner nights where we would serve a plant-based meal and we would do education on processed foods and the importance of plant-based foods. And then also the principal there, Bob Groff, is extremely committed to having nutrition education as part of every day for these students. It's incredible. You see the projects on the wall are all about fitness and wellness, and it's really incredible.
Okay, so their BMI is down. And
yep. I believe test scores are also up for that school.
Woo.
And they have been the inspiration for two other schools in New York City to also go vegetarian this year.
Who are those?
There's the Peck Slip School.
Where's that?
It's actually in the Chancellor's Building downtown. And
wow.
Please forgive me. I don't remember the name of the other school.
That's okay. Wow.
So, yeah, that was
a huge
problem.
Go New York.
Yeah, very, very exciting.
Woo! That's really good news. Okay, now Whole Foods. So you do your culinary classes for kids in the Whole Foods.
Yes. We started with, like I said, the Upper West Side. We were doing it once a month, every third Tuesday of the month at 4 o'clock. And that became so successful there that in 6 months we were in 23 Whole Foods markets in the Northeast region. And that is really what grew our program, made people aware of what we were doing. And since then, I now have been, because I couldn't possibly teach classes in 23 stores, I started training our instructors. And in last August, launched what we call the Veggiecator Training Program. So now our instructors can work independently and actually make a living doing what they love.
Wow, that's great.
So
that's wonderful.
Really exciting.
Whew. So what do kids make in these programs?
Like I said, some of our lettuceless salads. Mm-hmm. They also make things like lettuce wraps. They make green smoothies. They make all different kinds of pestos. We have one that I really love in the spring called Minty Pesto, which is made with fresh mint leaves, olive oil, and peas, green peas.
Mm.
That's amazing on pasta. It's so good. and then also learning to make green smoothies and, you know, talking to them about how they can start their day. Spinach smoothies in particular is a good mood food, so how it's a perfect way to start your day and get three of your five servings of fruits and vegetables in the morning with fruit and strawberries, spinach and strawberries.
So you're telling me that most of these kids didn't originally eat like this that come and take your classes? Because I'm thinking the parents that know about Whole Foods and take their kids and shop in Whole Foods have an edge already on healthier foods, assuming.
You would think that most of them have been exposed to it. Some yes, and sometimes we get kids that are cooking in the kitchen with their parents. And
I know my nephew and niece, they do a lot of cooking.
Yeah, and that's fantastic. And then we have some kids that parents have sought this out as a solution for them because they are frustrated. I had a mom in Yonkers who was teaching a class there on Sundays once a month, and the mom came up to me after about 3 or 4 months. I kept seeing her and her son, and she said, I have to thank you. We have our veggiecation lists on the refrigerator, and we would do two new vegetables or beans or herbs every month. And she said, and every month now we get to add one or two new vegetables that we know it's our veggiecation list, and we know that he will eat them. So we've got peppers, we've got carrots, we've got chickpeas, things like that. And that just really, you know, little anecdotal things like that are what keep me going
really
every day.
Really good. Now, is there a cost for people to take this program at Whole Foods?
No, it's a free program
that
we
awesome.
Offer at Whole Foods. So it's we're in several of the stores throughout the Northeast region. I think your niece saw us at the Danbury store in Connecticut, which is one of the newer stores for Whole Foods here. And yeah, they can just find out about it and sign up.
That is so fabulous. Okay, so I think we've come to the end. I just have one question. What's the favorite, the ultimate favorite that the kids love?
The ultimate, my never fail, is parsley lemon pesto.
Parsley lemon pesto.
Right?
Mm, delicious.
Surprising.
And they dip their veggies in it or
they
do whatever they want.
They dip their veggies in, or we'll do like a whole wheat pita bread with it. Or, you know, sometimes I'll get a whole grain roll or something like that because kids really love to be able to dip the bread and soak up the pita, the pesto with it. It's absolutely my favorite recipe that we have. I'm sure you can find it on our website, veggiecation.com.
Okay.
And
I'm hungry.
Put it on everything. It's so good.
That sounds great, Lisa. Thank you so much for joining me on It's All About
Thank
Food.
You.
People can find you at
vegication.com. It's VeggieCation.com.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take a little break, and we will be right back with Brendan Brazier.